Good morning! Good morning! Christ has risen! Good morning! Christ has risen! Alleluia! Christ has risen indeed! Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church this beautiful Easter morning. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you have any questions about worship this morning or our fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. And your bulletin is full of announcements and calendars for you to look through. A special welcome this morning to our youngest worshipers. GPC takes very seriously the welcome that we extend to you, and we also know that worship can be a little long sometimes, and you might get a little bit wiggly, but your wiggles and giggles are part of the joyful noise here to praise God. Though if the adult that you brought with you to worship this morning starts to get uncomfortable with your wiggles and giggles, don't be afraid, there is a nursery just down the hallway, and you're welcome to utilize it at any time. There is also a fellowship pad located in your pews, and if you want to all just sign your name, pass it along, helps us to be able to greet each other by name here. Again, friends, Christ has risen. Alleluia. Christ has risen indeed.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. In the quiet and dark of the morning,
when the world grew no longer,
death was shown for what it is.
New life and light burst forth.
Let our praises sing. Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah.
Confession. Merciful God, we don't always recognize Christ, even when we are looking directly at your incarnate love. We cling to our assumptions about how life on earth should unfold, forgetting that life in your realm shatters those expectations. Forgive us when we go through our daily routine, forgetting to look for the risen one. Forgive us when coming to worship is more about seeing our friends than it is about encountering you and our resurrected Lord. Open our eyes and our hearts, O God, to the full awareness of your presence with us in each and every moment of our lives. We pray in the name of the Christ who is alive. In the light of the cross, the alternative is anything but hopeless. We are called to change who we are into the kingdom of God. Where change is possible, new resurrections loom. Jesus Christ is risen today. We are forgiven. Alleluia.
I'd like to invite the children forward. I am so happy to see each one of you this morning. You look handsome, beautiful. It is a happy day. Can anybody tell me why it's such a happy day? That's exactly right. It's Easter. Jesus came back alive again. You know, I have a story to tell you, the Easter story. But I need some help from you. And because I see such happy faces, I think you'll be really good at this. So when I hold up a face, I'd like you to make that face. So this first one is happy. Can you be happy? Hey, those are good faces. All right, how about this one? This one's surprised. Can you be surprised? Yeah, excellent. Uh-oh, how about this one? It's sad. Be sad? Good job. All right. Let's see. You've done really well with those. Let's see how you are with this one. This is scared. You can't make your face like that? Well, you just make any kind of scary face, okay? All right. I think you're going to be good storytellers. So I'll begin our story. One morning, very, very early, actually before the sun even came up, two of Jesus' friends went to his tomb. They were feeling so sad because Jesus was dead. So can you do this face, the sad face? Can you do the sad face? All right, that's very good. You're good storytellers. When they got to the tomb, though, they saw an angel. And the door to the tomb was open. A rock had been rolled away. They were pretty scared when they saw that angel. Be scared? Oh, that's really good back there. God. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because Jesus is alive again. In fact, you can look in Jesus' tomb, and you will see that Jesus is not there." Well, they were very surprised. Oh, that's good, Alex. Good. Good, excellent. Well, the angel said, "Yes, Jesus is alive again. You can look in the tomb and see. In fact, Jesus is waiting for you in town. You can go and see Jesus in town." So they went on the road, and guess who they saw on the road? They saw Jesus. Well, I'm thinking that they probably felt very happy, a little bit afraid, good, and very surprised. I don't know if they felt sad. Let's put that one away. So Jesus said to them again, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am alive again, and I want you to go tell all the disciples that I am alive again." And so I think they felt very what? Happy. That's exactly right. So they hurried into town to tell everybody that Jesus was alive again. So, one more time on the happy face. Very good. Because Easter is a happy, happy day. So, in fact, it's so happy we say a lot of hallelujahs. So, I'm going to count to three, and you can say hallelujah as loud as you can. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
I'm thinking you can even do it louder than that. Let's try. One, two, three. Very good. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for bringing Jesus back to life again. Amen. All right, you may go back to your families, and I hope you have a wonderful Easter day.
Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does violently. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does violently. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. Amen. And the gospel story of the resurrection this morning comes from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen. When people ask me what I enjoy most about being a pastor, I don't hesitate, though responses are a little surprised. My favorite things: baptism and funerals. Barbara Brown Taylor eloquently describes how baptisms and funerals are the bookend rituals in which life and death point to one another, linking birth to death and death to new life. And I love standing near a font of warm water and graves empty with earth's cool soil, reading sacred words and mysterious promises as I handle water and flesh and earth in ancient and holy ways. The small prayer book I use for such occasions is crinkled with dry water, a mixture of rain and tears and baptismal waters. I recall reading from such a prayer book on one of the very first funerals I ever presided over as a pastor. The cars were parked at the cemetery on a cold gray day, and the family walked unsteadily across the ice-crusted grass to the graveside. And after sharing the words that we have heard so many times, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The family requested to place dirt on top of the casket, and I wasn't prepared for this, and I looked at the funeral director, and he pointed me to the turf-covered pile of dirt and whispered about not having a shovel. Unconcerned, the family and I dug our fingernails deep to loosen a handful and lay it on the casket. There is little separating the dust from which we are made and the waters of grace dripping down our foreheads with the interwoven promises that in life and in death we belong to God. Both require touching flesh and bone, body and soul in ways that are unmistakably sacred. And no matter how theologically close they may be, the truth is we have no idea how to reconcile these two seemingly conflicting realities. And yet, that is what we come here to do this morning. We come and gather in our Sunday best, bright colors, white shoes, and I even see a few fancy hats. We come early to stake out our regular pew, or some of us try to slide in quickly, hoping to be unnoticed because we came. This was the closest church. Some of us are just appeasing a family member on our way to Easter brunch and hoping for a short sermon. But we celebrate this morning with beautiful spring flowers and even signs of spring and sunshine outside. It may not be quite as extravagant as Christmas, but there are gifts and candy and wonderful meals, and we greet each other with those familiar words, Happy Easter. But on that morning, so many years ago, the women came to the tomb not to celebrate. They were not wearing their best. They weren't even planning to worship or enjoy a sunrise. They were coming to honor and to bury. Author and funeral director Thomas Lynch defines a funeral in its most rudimentary purpose, A funeral gets the dead where they need to go and the living where they need to be. 3 days ago, the body of Jesus died upon a cross. And unique to the Gospel of Matthew, it shares the account of how a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph got the body where it needed to go. He wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in its own new tomb, hewn from rock. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary with him. And on this Easter morning, we learn the women have returned to where they thought they needed to be, the tomb. The other Gospels account for their purpose, to cover the now decaying body with prepared spices and ointments. Perhaps they were also keeping to funeral traditions of the day by singing songs and telling the stories of Jesus. They gathered and shared together because the Sabbath was quick approaching when they took him down from that cross and laid him in the tomb. And so they are there to share in the sorrow and the joy. The joy they experienced when they saw Jesus do what no one was ever supposed to do. When he touched the lepers, healed the sick, held children, squirmy, noisy, wonderful children, in his lap. And when he shared countless meals with people that no one ever wanted to share a table with. Maybe the women remembered how just 1 week earlier, all of Jerusalem cheered and waved palm branches and called him King, Messiah, Lord. Maybe their hearts warmed at the intimacy of sharing dinner with him on Thursday evening when he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, broken for you," and shared the cup, saying, "This is my blood." With tears in their eyes and fear in their hearts, they spoke of the angry mob, the arrest, the trial, the execution. And in hushed whispers, as the light crept over the horizon, they greeted each other in silence and fear, not with smiles or happy Easters. Walking up to the tomb that morning, they thought the body was where it needed to go, and they were where they needed to be. Except there was an earthquake. And again, their fear grew stronger, and an angel descended from heaven like lightning, rolling away stones and proclaiming the most disturbing of news. The body is not where you think it is, and you are not where you need to be. He is not here. He has been raised from the dead and is on his way to Galilee, where you need to be also. None of this is as it should be and will no longer be what it seems. What must these women be feeling now? These grieving women, off to a funeral, only to discover that he is not there, but alive, and on his way to Galilee. Presbyterian preaching professor and author Tom Long says that their mixture of fear and joy, that in that, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are the church in miniature. He writes, "Overcome with joy over good news, they have heard, but also apprehensive as they move with this news toward a skeptical and dangerous world." the wonderful news of Easter is that Jesus is alive. And the terrifying news of Easter is Jesus is alive. Because nothing is nailed down anymore. That old joke about nothing being sure but death and taxes was at least half right. You could at least count on death the way the world used to be if something troubling got in the way, like a radical justice, a radical call for justice, or a worker for peace, or advocate for mercy. The world could just kill it and be done with it. But Jesus is alive. And righteousness, mercy, and peace cannot be dismissed with a cross or a sword. We have to decide where we will be and what we will do in this new and frightening resurrection world. Fear and joy join the complicated, amazing reality of what Easter means for our lives and for this world. It shakes loose and interrupts all our expectations. Nothing is where it should be. Jesus is loose in the world. Nothing can be contained in a tomb or in death. Nothing is as it should be. The women are not as they should be, and neither are we. For when death does not have the last word, even at a funeral, we know it can only be one thing: the beauty, the grace, the surprising grace, the promises of God. This is the day when life and death point to one another. In the resurrection, God connects birth to death and death to new life. So with dirt beneath our fingernails, we put on bright colors and greet each other, not just with a happy Easter, but with the greatest news we've ever had. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And at this time, you are invited, though not required, to affirm your faith using the traditional words of the Apostles' Creed. They're located on page 35 of your purple hymnal. Let us stand and say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
to invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Hi, Cherie Barrett. I want prayers for my coworker. Her young daughter, Avery, has relapsed with leukemia and needs lots of prayers.
Prayers. I would ask you to please pray for Walt's brother and sister. His brother had shoulder surgery and is recuperating nicely, but still could use your prayer. And his sister is hospitalized, having had a kidney removed.
Tiffany Switzer, I have prayers for a high school friend whose 7-year-old daughter was just put on hospice.
Let us pray. God of the resurrection, we stand in front of your empty tomb, reminded again that through you all things are possible. We sing with joy, for your wondrous love fills us with hope and gives us courage to step beyond the shadows of our own lives, shadows of fear and despair, shadows of doubt and discouragement. Our energy is restored and we dare to dream with hopeful expectations. Life has conquered death and we are confident that transformation is possible for ourselves, even possible for our world. Strengthen us, O God, so that the renewal of our faith will be reflected in our commitment to be your church serving your people. This morning, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. Our hearts are fearful, remembering times past when fear trumped justice and humanity suffered unimaginably. Fill world leaders with wisdom as they pursue solutions to difficult global issues. And we lift to you those who have lost loved ones on the South Korean ferry. Our heart breaks as we hear the news of so many youth involved in this tragic accident. May their parents know the world is holding them in love. Oh God, bring Easter to our eyes, to our ears, to our lives, and to our world. Help us, like Mary and Mary Magdalene, to recognize you, worship you, and take the astonishing news of resurrection possibilities into our world. And we ask that you hear us now as we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our gifts forward.
Thank you. Let us pray. Jesus, Easter is a day when we especially feel an abundance of joy. We celebrate your resurrection and the love and the devotion you show us each and every day. As we enjoy our Easter dinners and eat all those peeps and jelly beans, let us not forget those who do not know you or believe in you. Use these gifts to bring Easter joy to all your people. Amen.
This church building.
We will see the risen Jesus on the roads and in the streets and all the pathways and byways of our lives.
Do not seek comfort in the familiar, but dare to risk the unfamiliar.
We know that the resurrection makes all things new.
Do not cling to all the old, expected notions about God, Jesus, Spirit. But go forth and celebrate this truly new good news.
Because Christ lives, new possibilities are ever before us.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.